Welcome, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
We have a special guest today. Would you like to introduce our special guest?
Sure. Our special guest is Mike, and we're so thankful that he's here. He's got a really, really interesting story.
Mike Vanderpool.
It's good to be here.
And, you know, that name kind of sounds like Dutch name to me.
Yeah, I was just thinking, my last name's Dutch as well, so, you know,
family. Is yours a Dutch name, too?
Yeah.
What's your last name?
Jongepier.
Oh, that's why I can never say it.
No, see, people pronounce it.
Her name is really hard to say. Say it again.
Jongepier.
See, but how do you spell that?
J-O-N-G-E-P-I-E-R.
So nobody knows how to pronounce it.
That's why when she got married, she changed it.
Yeah, that's true.
To an easier one.
You still use your maiden name sometimes.
No.
Right. Well, thank you all for being here. And Mike, thank you so much for coming to our program today.
Well, it's good to be here.
You know, Mike, I've known you for quite a few years, and Studio Classroom has been on the air quite a few years.
That's right.
And have you ever been on our program before?
Many, many years ago. I would say about 40 or so years ago.
About 40 years ago, you were on our program when you were in Taipei.
Yeah.
And you know what? People keep telling me I've been listening for 40 years or 50
That's
years.
Amazing.
So let's welcome Mike back.
Yeah, Mike was telling us before the program that he was on the show before we were Amanda and I were born, which is actually true. That's amazing.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Hey, well, welcome back. And come more often, Mike, right?
Yeah, no problem.
Mike will not be in here too long in Taiwan, but we're so glad he could come today to the program. There's a special reason we invited him today. That is because I heard Mike say that he used to stutter. Can you imagine?
That's
you never
amazing.
Know by listening to him now.
No, I mean, he's a preacher, right?
He's a preacher now.
Right.
He, you know, speaks out every Sunday. And, wow, Mike, I didn't know you had that problem. I never knew that.
Well, if I can just say, I lived in the Netherlands for 15 years, first 15 years of my life.
In the Netherlands, in Holland.
In Holland, in Europe. And during that time, I stuttered badly.
Until you were 15 years
until
old?
Until I was 15 years
old.
My
goodness, which isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You lived in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about this goal of people that's stuttering, but then how come you could stop after 15 years?
Yes.
Well, I took some speech therapy at the time, but, you know, it was not as organized as it is today. But somebody, in fact, the pastor of our church, told my dad, maybe if Mike learns a new language, it would help in his stuttering. So my parents were thinking of immigrating anyway to the United States, and so we moved to Michigan.
To Michigan, in the United States.
Michigan, in the United States. And I never stuttered in English.
Wow.
You stuttered in English. Now, when you started speaking English, did you stutter in English?
Not at all.
You never studied in English. No wonder we didn't know, right?
Once in a while, I will catch myself. But when I go back to Holland now, I pick up stuttering again.
Hmm. When you speak your native language in Dutch, then you start to stutter, no?
Yep.
Isn't that something,
though? It's really interesting.
The psychologists would be interested
in
that.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe learning a new language would be a help to people.
Right.
If your kid is Chinese and he stutters, have him learn English. Maybe it'll help.
Send him to Michigan.
So how long did it take you to learn English?
You know, we didn't have ESL. I went to, when I first immigrated, I did not know the difference between yes and no. So the first week we came back, I went to school, all English, nobody spoke Dutch.
Oh my.
And I just needed to survive. And about a month afterwards, I worked in a grocery store. And the manager did not want to hire me because he says, I can't talk to him. I can't communicate with him. He doesn't speak any English. So, but the owner was a friend of a friend, and he says, yeah, we want to hire him. And so the manager, just a great guy, he learned to like me and appreciate, you know, my work.
You worked hard.
I worked hard. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was 15 at the time. In those days, our parents didn't necessarily want us to go to school. They wanted us to work in the family, and we did. We didn't complain. We all did. And so I started working when I was 15. Mm. And then afterwards, I went to correspondence school. But through work, I picked up a lot of language because people were very kind to me. Yep.
Isn't that interesting, though? That's a very good, true story. Mm-hmm. So we're so glad to have Mike with us today. Well, we're going to ask you as we go along. So let's read today's lesson first. Where should we start, Campbell?
We're going to start at the top of page 33, right under where it says 19. And we're going to start with Say's goal.
Say's goal. The mission of Say is to empower young people who stutter to show they can do anything they want in life and to not let stuttering hold them back from anything, Alexander said. We're here to improve their confidence and communication skills and to help them create friendships and to educate them about what stuttering is and what it is not, as well as support their support system, their parents, their teachers, their speech pathologists. So we're not just empowering these kids and giving them all these tools to go into a world where no one else is on the same page.
So that's the mission or the purpose of this organization. And what did we say that SAY stands for yesterday?
Well, SAY stands for the Stuttering Association for the Young. And their mission is to empower young people who stutter to know they can do anything they want in life and to not let stuttering hold them back from anything.
Mm-hmm. So when you were growing up, Mike, they probably didn't have organizations like that.
No.
Did they?
Not at all.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I was totally on my own.
Mom.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that stuttering was okay?
No.
No?
I was in class one time. I'll tell you one story. I was in class one time, and the teacher assigned certain people to do certain things, and they gave each of us a number, and I think I was number 10. So number 10 came, and the teacher said, okay, raise your hand who has number 10. Please stand up and recite whatever we needed to do. And nobody stood up. I didn't stand up. Finally, he got angry. And he said, now, who is number 10? So I kind of crawled from underneath my desk. And I said, I have number 10, sir. And he said, okay, come. He was very harsh on me. It was kind of scary.
Sure.
And you know, he probably thought you just weren't willing.
Sure.
And stuff. And I think the attitude at that time was, well, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
You know, you stuttered.
Mm-hmm.
And so... My parents were supportive, but not too many people were supportive. I was pretty much on my own in all of that.
Yeah, they probably just thought, well, you could if you wanted to.
Yes.
You know, you don't try hard enough or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most likely, the feeling is you're not trying hard enough. Yep.
So those kind of things that didn't help your self-confidence at all then.
No.
You lost. Well, it's amazing that you became a preacher because,
that's
after
right.
all, you have to speak all the time.
That's right.
But you don't feel that way at all now.
No.
No, of course
well,
not.
You know, that's the interesting part because when I was 12 years old, then a person came, a missionary, and spoke about missions, and I thought that's what I would like to do. But in order to become a missionary, you have to get in front of a crowd of people,
or
deal with
talk.
People.
Sure.
And I could not get one sentence out. Mm. So I thought, boy, Lord, how is this going to work?
It's pretty interesting to think, you know, how a person can change that much.
That's
you know?
Right.
Well, the point of this, Sarah, is to improve confidence.
Right, and communication skills, and to help them create friendships. And to educate them about what stuttering is and what it is not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also a support system.
That's right. And so they want to help them to understand that stuttering isn't necessarily a bad thing, that they can work with their stuttering and that they can use it for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is really a thing that has to do with communication skills. Now, we can communicate now on our smartphones and by all kinds of electronic devices,
mm-hmm.
but we still have to communicate face-to-face a lot of times, don't we?
That's right. We have to talk to people. And so that's why it's great that this organization exists and they're working hard to help people to communicate and to not necessarily overcome their stutter, but to be able to work with their stutter.
Right. It says in here, empowering these kids and giving them all the tools to go into a world where no one else is on the same page. So giving them tools.
And that would give them more confidence, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's right. Right.
And so their teachers and all of the people that are working with them, the doctors, the speech pathologists, they're not just empowering them, but they are letting them know that they're on the same page, which means to understand what you mean. We understand where you're at.
That's
so
right.
So they don't put them down or disregard them.
Right, and to give them the support, right? We see it says to support their support system. Because as a parent of a child who's with special needs, sometimes, you know, you have to be strong for your child, but there's no one to be strong for you.
Now, does your child have any problem with speaking at all?
She does. She's almost five, and she is still learning to speak, so her language ability is a little bit delayed, so we do take her to speech therapy, and we encourage her to speak, but sometimes she just prefers to point.
So. Well, now, do you think that has anything to do with her self-confidence in a way? Or do you try to make her feel like it's okay?
We try to make her feel like it's okay. We try to just feel like, you know, that's your normal, and that's not, you know, that you're not abnormal. And
okay.
We're very careful with the way people speak about her as well.
Because it's really difficult. Does she have a speech pathologist?
She does. She goes to speech therapy several times a week, and just to help her to learn how to speak and to form the words. And she's improved a lot.
Yeah, well, her dad's such a good speaker, she's going to have to take after him. But you have to understand, and you have to be on the same page with them and not just say, well, you're not trying hard enough.
That's
now speak.
Right.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way, right?
It doesn't work that way,
okay.
Right.
Well, let's read the next paragraph to the bottom of this column.
Medical experts don't all agree. The field is not united on this. There are many speech pathologists and organizations that are dedicated to helping people who stutter, who are 100% in line with the thinking that fluency is not the goal, Alexander said. But a lot of speech pathologists do think fluency is the be-all and end-all. And if you can get the child to be fluent, they won't have the feelings of shame and isolation. Say works with children to set and meet specific goals for their voices, Alexander said.
Well, everybody doesn't agree on this.
That's right. So medical experts don't all agree. Some people feel that they should work with people who stutter to just work with their stuttering, right? But then, and that fluency is not the goal. But then there are some who feel that, no, that is the goal. That's the be-all and end-all goal.
Mm-hmm. Have you known people who stuttered even when they're older?
Yes, I have one friend who continues to stutter even in being an adult.
Mm-hmm. So they don't always get over it, right?
Nope.
Maybe they should try learning French or something.
Yeah.
Learn another language.
Another language.
Who knows?
Mm.
You know, I wonder if that is a thought that maybe medical doctors or pathologists ought to pursue. Learning
right.
A new language may just help out. Depending
it certainly
on,
be worth a try, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would, depending on why we stutter. I suspect that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to see the reasons behind, to read up about that, the reasons behind why people stutter. Sometimes it is psychological, right? Sometimes it is more of the mechanism, so different things. And so maybe like learning a new language could change that.
Yeah,
right.
If it's a mechanism type of thing, then a new language would work.
It could make a difference.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But it may be a combination. It's probably a whole bunch of things why people stutter.
Right.
Yeah, well, most people do think fluency is important. In fact, some people think that it's the best to be and end it all, and you have to be that way. And so it's kind of hard for people in a world like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that they feel that that is the tool that will help them survive in the world.
That's right.
Right, to make sure that they are fluent so that they don't have feelings of shame or isolation.
Right, but it seems like you know, if you've ever dealt with stuttering or if you've dealt with a problem where you're different than other people, that kind of sometimes leaves lasting psychological effects. Mm-hmm. And so even if you get over your stutter, you still have a little bit of that shame and that lack of self-confidence.
Well, Mike, didn't you say that sometimes, you know, you're a little afraid of something, like if you have to speak another language or what?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the idea of shame and isolation, I agree, that'll stick with you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because speaking is so vital to our communication, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Personal relationships.
Right?
Right.
And if you can't do that, so I think how I have coped with this is I do more listening than speaking when mm-hmm. I'm one-on-one with people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm speaking in public, then I'm very sure, I work very hard, even in English, to have it all written out and know where I'm going. So mm-hmm. I don't have to be confused as to where I am
right.
in my speech or mm-hmm. in my message.
That helps you be more prepared, doesn't
it's
it?
It's true.
And it does. And it just makes me, you know, I don't want to lose the confidence in myself mm-hmm. in speaking by not knowing what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But I do sense that, you know, I think in that way it's made you a better, you know, better at your job because you listen more, you know?
Yeah.
But I also sense you have that more of that compassion mm-hmm. because you've gone through that experience.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's read the last section.
All right. Let's go to the second column of page 33, and it starts at, maybe somebody is really afraid to talk. Let's go there.
Maybe somebody is really afraid to talk on the phone, he said. They're afraid of getting laughed at or hung up on. So we'll work toward calling a pizza place to ask how long they're open. Often, he said, the kindness of strangers astounds them. Other times, it does not. Say gives children tools for both outcomes. I have 3 children, Alexander said. I totally understand. If there are any challenges, your first instinct is to want to make it better. Talking is such a core part of who we are, and it's devastating to see a child not be able to get their words out. Sometimes, simply finding a community can be powerfully therapeutic. Both for the child and the parent, being around kids who talk in the same way can help you see. I don't need to hate the way I speak, he said. We want to get people to a place of self-acceptance and knowing what they have to say matters. Even if it takes you a little longer to say it, shouldn't that be okay?
All right, so maybe somebody's really afraid to talk on the phone. This connects with what we were saying earlier. Say works with children to set and meet specific goals for their voices. So what do they do to help them to get over this fear, Amanda?
Right. Well, they often just need to be in an environment where they're getting support, which is what Say provides for them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think perhaps they're meeting people of the same kind who they can just talk to and they can get encouragement
mm-hmm.
from.
That's
well,
right.
At this camp, they have them do different things like, you know, even when they stutter, they don't say try to do it without stuttering, call and order a pizza on the phone.
That's right.
And maybe the pizza person, you know, the listening would say, I can't understand you and hang up or something.
Yeah. And
so they have to practice that. Right?
They're very afraid of that, right? They're
right.
afraid of being laughed at. They're afraid of being picked on. And so they work with them and help them to feel like, hey, no, you can do this, right? And they support them through that.
Which is quite similar. I don't know if you've seen, there was a movie called The King's Speech.
Mm.
Right, The King's Speech, that's where the king, well, that was in England, wasn't it?
Right. I think it's Queen Elizabeth's father,
mm-hmm.
And he, I think his wife helps get a speech trainer
right.
or coach
yes.
to help him with his speech.
Right, that was a very touching movie, didn't
yeah.
you think
mm-hmm.
so?
Yeah, it was a really amazing story. He wasn't supposed to be the king, but his brother mm-hmm. abdicated the throne, so
right.
suddenly he
had to be the king,
and then
yeah.
he had to give a speech.
He stuttered,
but
right.
he had a stutter.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you see that movie, Mike?
Yeah, I did. In fact, the first time, I could not watch it.
Really?
Because
I would think you'd be interested in seeing.
Well, I know, but it brought back so many so many bad memories, debilitating memories. I felt so badly for the man. I said to Lois, I said, you know what? You go for it. But then I saw it again the second, you know, then I thought, you know, I've got to get over this. Mm-hmm. So I saw it the second time, and I sweat with the movie. Hmm. And, you know, we're talking, I saw maybe 50 plus years after I stuttered.
Mm-hmm. 50 years later, you still 50 years needed later, to see anything
I still
like that.
Felt the pain when I was 15.
Wow. Mm. And that, you know, so, that so our itself, memories can bring back things, you know.
Right. See, yeah. And that in itself brings back, think of how many people suffer, not just stuttering, but with other issues that they had when they were little.
Sure.
And that comes back many years later.
Well, like even the soldiers, you know, that were in war many years ago. They'll see something and it'll just bring back that time when they were in some terrible situation. Mm-hmm. And even 30 years later, sometimes those soldiers will go through that, right?
Right.
We were in San Diego, and the Blue Angels, I don't know if anybody know who the Blue Angels are, but these are
the pilots
who fly in formation. There are about five of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we watched their demonstration, and then soon thereafter, there was a jet that came and dropped bombs, assimilated bombs. I mean, they weren't, you know, and I said to Lois, I've got to leave, because I remember all the bombs falling in Europe when I was a small child in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, you could still see those things are still in our memory. They're just kind of hidden back there, but something triggers and brings it back.
And so we left. We left the whole demonstration. I couldn't handle it. Mm. Mm. So some of these things were so vivid.
Right.
You kind of bury them.
So they're still in our mind. We just can't get to them.
They certainly are.
So that might be, you know, like you might say to somebody like Michael, you used to stutter, you'll want to see this movie, thinking they would be happy. But in a sense, it brings back memories, so it doesn't always work that way. It's interesting, because our memories, our minds are very intricate things, and they keep a lot of things, and we don't know they're there.
Right.
Then sometimes they come up, right?
Yeah. They sure do.
Right.
Like,
so I think it's great that they have this camp and this organization that works with these children to help them to overcome a lot of these different challenges and fears that they might have accumulated as a result of their stuttering.
Right, and that's perhaps why kindness of a stranger astounds them when that happens, because sometimes it doesn't as well.
Right.
But I like how it says that Say gives the children tools for both outcomes.
Right.
Yes.
And he says that he has three children, and he understands that. So you want to help your kids make it better. And talking is important. And if you can't speak, they use this word devastating. Devastating is a very strong word.
That's right. It just makes you feel really terrible.
Completely destroyed.
You feel really destroyed, to see a child not be able to get their words out.
Everybody's trying to help, and they're sitting there, and they can't do it, you know.
Right.
So both sides feel bad, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like drowning.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally helpless, because people are looking at you.
And you're trying to say something.
People are expecting you to finish your sentence, and you can't do it.
Now, how did your folks feel about it?
Oh, they helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. They understood. They were sympathetic.
Oh, very much. Yeah, they took me to a person that hypnotizes you even, hoping that you know those were the tools we used at that time.
Yeah,
we didn't have these programs or it was your problem. It was my problem.
Yeah.
And my parents. Yeah, they were very sympathetic.
I imagine they were pretty excited when he got to America and you could speak English and he didn't stutter. I bet they were glad they made that move.
The first time I was going to college and I was supposed to speak in chapel, so I did. And that went over the radio, the local radio. Mm-hmm. And my mom cried because she did not visualize me ever being able to speak.
Mm-hmm. Of course, she must have been really excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. Right. Well, so for the parent and the children, and it's good for them to be around people who have the same thing, and it does seem to help them. They want to get to the place where the kids have self-acceptance And knowing what they have to say does matter, even if it takes them a little bit longer.
Right.
So other people have to learn to be patient with them.
That's
sometimes
right, yes.
The people that are listening don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know, you could say, well, never mind, and just skip over them.
Right.
I mean, you don't know how to react sometimes.
Yeah, right.
You want to be sympathetic,
yeah.
And that may not be the best thing. Maybe you should just let them try to say it. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think the tendency is for people to finish the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying a sentence and I'm stopping in the middle of it, and oh, you mean this? And then, you know, that
is
probably not a good thing to do.
No.
It's better to just listen and be patient, but it's uncomfortable for other people.
They don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do.
People
I don't blame
kind
people.
Of feel helpless. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of want to help, but they're not helping.
That's right. Yeah. And I don't blame people. You know, we want to go on with the show, but at the same time, it's to learn to listen.
It doesn't help your self-esteem,
that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So this has been an interesting article, and... You know, it should be okay to listen a little bit longer. That's what it says. Shouldn't that be okay? So if you meet people that stutter, just remember that. Just give them time to say what they have to say, and you don't have to just make a big deal about it. So, oh, yes, you know. I mean, I think just make it seem natural is better, isn't it?
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us today. It was good to have you here, and it's good to have many different kinds of lessons in advance. There's so many things in this world we can talk about. In English, and if you find someone that stutters, just try them speaking some other language and just see, that could be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just let them say what they have to say and don't make a big thing about it, right?
That's right.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so thanks for coming, Mike, and thanks all of you for being with us today. We have a new kind of lesson tomorrow, so stay tuned every day to advance and learn together with us. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.